She's going to share just her life story with us and all the things that she's had to overcome. So we're here to listen, and we're ready when you're ready.
Okay, great. Hi, my name is Jeremy. I was originally born in Omaha, Nebraska, but I was fortunate enough to be raised overseas. I'm a military brat. My father is Air Force. We were stationed in Misawa, Japan for up to 7 years.
Wow.
It was amazing being able to just be around different cultures. By the time I would say I was 13, I mean, I spoke two different languages.
Right.
However, the downfall is if you don't use it, you lose it.
I was going to ask if you remember.
So, I can't really necessarily, I mean, I remember certain things, you know, konnichiwa and sarano and mushy mush, you know, the basic hellos, goodbyes, and thank yous.
What was the mushy mush one? I want to listen to you.
Hello.
Is this mush mush?
Mush mush. Mush mush.
Mush mush.
Mush mush.
Mush mush.
Mush mush. I'm going to use that.
Yeah. Now you all know.
Like right now, my oldest sister, her and her husband stationed in Okinawa, and they've been there for about 8 months, I want to say. I'm going to talk to y'all about second chances. I have 6 children. My oldest should be 20 this year.
Mm-hmm.
My youngest is 2. Mm-hmm. Her name is Zoe, and unfortunately, Zoe was born with a physical impairment. She was born without a right hip socket. Medical terminology for it will be a severe case of hip dysplasia. For the time being, when she was about 18 months, she had a full hip replacement surgery. They gave her a hip. So she has an artificial hip and with 4 rods and plates. She went through 6 months where she was in the body cast. Prior to that, she was in individual casting. After that, she was in 1 casting. So we're done with all her casting. She actually starts physical therapy in a couple of weeks. With that being said, I have 3 jobs. I work for a government contracting company called Ingenious Micro. I'm the custodian there, / receptionist, / I'm in training as we speak, trying to become a quality tech. We're in the progress of getting classes for that. I also work for Huntsville Housing Authority. Under them, I work for this program called Intentional Faith. / that, I cater. It's mostly personal, but say, for instance, through Huntsville Housing Authority, it's called How to Make It Work. Mm-hmm. It's for all the residents, and it's free to the community, but I cater it. And every 3 to 4 months, we have a giving back training programs for the community, but I cater all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So I'm constantly busy. And prior to that, people always ask me, how do you do it? How do you manage the kids? How do you manage Zoe? How do you manage 3 jobs? I manage it because it comes from, first of all, I'm a survivor.
Mm-hmm.
So my will to manage things and to support my children comes from surviving situations that have just driven me to be successful, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does.
I don't know how to necessarily explain why I do what I do. I just do it because I know it has to be done.
Right, it's like necessity.
It is. It's a necessity. Like how we have to have air and water.
Mm-hmm.
I have to go to work. I have to take care of Zoe. I put my children's needs before I put myself. Try not to get emotional.
No, you're so sweet.
I would like to say, the very first time I experienced abuse was when I was first married. Between 2005 and 2007. I met my husband in 2005, but I married him in 2007. For 2 years every day, my husband, he beat me. He beat me just senseless. In 2007, we lost a baby because of the abuse. Through that, because my parents witnessed the abuse from a distance, they stepped in and they were like, okay, enough is enough. Of course, they called CPS. It wasn't to hurt me. It was to take the children out of the home because they knew I was being hurt.
Mm-hmm.
So for a long time, I resented my mother and her father because I couldn't understand why they would want strangers to take my kids. Mm-hmm. Make a long story short, it was never to hurt me. It was to protect me, you know, it was to protect my children. I had to learn the hard way. I had to separate from my husband. I had to take self-love classes. I had to do everything the courts wanted me to do to gain back that trust. And so I did that. I did that successfully. And I'm proud of myself for that because I know some women get in that realm and they don't know how to get out of it. The best advice I can give to anyone would be love yourself the way Christ loved us. Love your children the way Christ loves you. And if you could believe in that, then know that any man that puts his hands on you is not for you. Any man that calls you out your name is not for you.
Mm-hmm.
any man that doesn't love his family, his children before the church is not for you. I know it's easier said than done, but I know that surviving what I had to survive to be a better person, a better mother, is why I am where I am. I have an awesome job. I have awesome employers. I have peace in my home. We don't live in the best neighborhood, but we have peace. My children are safe. I am safe. And so with that being said, anyone who may or may not be in a situation that they know is not good for them, please get out of it. Mm-hmm. Please go to your resources. Please stick to your gun, because everyone doesn't get a second chance. And I did. I got my family back together. All six of my children are with mm-hmm. me. I have a 20-year-old, so she's pretty much grown. She's where she wants to be. My 13-year-old son is where he wants to be. But my babies are with me. Mm-hmm. And I'm proud of that, because no matter what, we all still work together. We all still communicate. We all have each other's back. A lot of people ask me, well, where's your ex-husband at? Where are the kids' fault? You know, it is what it is. I have six children. I have five baby daddies. I tell people, don't knock me for trying, because at least I didn't go back to the same mistake. I kept pushing forward. Mm-hmm. My past relationship that I was in with my 2 and 3-year-old was, he was a drug addict. Mm-hmm. And he still, you know, to this day is battling with that. And once I was keen to what was going on with him, the first year, I despised him. I hated him. You know, I put him out the house. It was always just, you know, he's doing wrong. He doesn't deserve to see them. But, you know, here recently, this is something I'm still battling with. If God gave me a second chance, he can give anybody else a second chance. So another thing, I don't want to get off the subject, but if you know someone that is struggling with a disease, don't kick them while they're down. Pray for them. I find myself praying more for my kids' fathers than I was talking about them, because talking mm-hmm. about them, it didn't make it better. Mm-hmm. It actually made it worse, because your children, you know, in the shadows, they see how you are. They see how you talk about them. And I tell myself, oh, my kids are babies. They don't know what I'm talking about, but they do, because mm-hmm. they mock me mm-hmm. and they repeat things that I say. Mm-hmm. And children are like sponges. You have to be careful and mindful of what you're saying around them. Every day I pray for all my kids. I don't hate them. I don't have any regrets. I pray that one day, you know, they will get it together and they will realize that, hey, it is a privilege to have children. It's not a duty. It's actually a blessing and a privilege to be able to take care of somebody else other than yourself. Another thing I wanted to touch base on. A lot of people say, you know, you're a go-getter, you do so much, you're multitask. I want to say between the years of 2000 all the way up to about 2005, right before I met my husband, I was an exotic dancer. I was in the club, I was out there all night long wearing 6-7-inch stilettos with nothing on, you know? I was working it. That mentality, it's still with me. You know, I can walk into an environment, walk into a room, be like, I know them, mm-hmm. or, you know, or I know him, or I've seen him before. And it just amazes me how people are just completely different in the light than from they are in the dark. Mm-hmm. And it's even more funny, because back from my stripping days, of course, I've had like 4 babies since then. My weight, no one recognized me, and I have glasses. So it's almost like I'm 2 different people, mm-hmm. but yet I never forget who I was. I never forget mm-hmm. that I went through that trial of my life. Mm-hmm. And since then, I've come across maybe 3 girls. And we never knew each other's first names. You only know each other's stage name. No one ever tells no one their real name in that environment. Mm-hmm. So when I saw these women, I wanted to say, hey, you know, such and such. But it dawned on me, I don't even know this person's name. And I worked with them for 3 years, and I never knew their name. So it was almost like we were both staying in the park, and we were like, I know you. And we were both too ashamed to say where we knew each other from, yet we knew. So I had to break the ice. I'm like, you know, I'm Lady J. You know, that was my stage name. And I danced with you such and such here. The moral of the story is, we all have past. We all have history. And to me, it's not about where you come from. It's where you're going. Mm-hmm. Because I think everyone, looking back, is probably doing something different now. At that time in my life, I had convinced myself that I was supporting myself to go to college, which I did graduate. However, I didn't have to do that. That was a choice. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of young women get into dancing because it's quick money. It is fast money. You know, it's cash. But, you know, keep in mind, more money, more problems. So I would encourage any young lady out there right now, if you're living that lifestyle, you're wasting your time. You're wasting your time. So you're better off keeping your clothes on. You're better off just finding you a 9-to-5. Mm-hmm. You're better off just doing it the right way, because especially if children are involved, that will come back to haunt you. Mm-hmm. My 20-year-old, she still hears stories of me dancing. I have to live with that. I have to answer to her. I have to let her know, yeah, I did it when you were a baby, but I don't do it anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, and I have to encourage her, please don't ever go down that road. And if she was to ever do it, it would devastate me, because I know I would feel responsible for it. Mm-hmm. So that's another thing. We have to be responsible for our actions at all times, because it comes back to haunt you. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I have to live with every day. My father, for almost a decade, wouldn't even speak to me because of my lifestyle. I had to overcome that. To this day, I mean, our relationship is better. He's more supportive of my decisions that I make, and he's always there for me. But I know in the back of his mind, it probably still bothers him, because it bothers me. You know, I am his baby girl. I had to turn around. 100% I turned around, and I did, for the most part. I struggle here and there with, I think, with self-esteem issues. I put on, like, literally 100 pounds when I thought I had my last baby. But I can tell you this, I've lost 120 pounds of that in the past 2 years.
Hell yeah.
I weighed 356 when I weighed out with Zoe. I'm like 240, 245.
Get it, girl.
I know, right?
It's amazing.
It is amazing. 30% of it came from stress, I'm not gonna lie, but the other percentage of it came from watching what I eat, drinking water everywhere I go. Mm-hmm. The jobs that I have as far as cleaning up and cooking, I'm always on my feet. I'm constantly moving. Mm-hmm. And so I had to take all that energy and all that moving into, okay, now it's time to change your diet.
Mm-hmm. Usually we're asking questions sooner, but you are so forthcoming. It's so amazing, because you can tell that you've already like thought your life through so well and had a spiritual relationship to all of your experiences, because you're like, this is what I gained from it, this is how I learned, and this is how I can help others through it. Mm-hmm. So you seem very driven to help others through your experience. Is that true?
Yes. I'm sorry. It's more than being able to share it. It's actually just, it's so amazing to be in a place where I'm able to do it. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
2-3 years ago, I could have never foresaw this coming. It's empowering. Being able to see yourself and actually hear myself tell my story, it's like, wow, you really did do all of that. Like, you know, kudos for you. Mm-hmm. Ladies and gentlemen, I promise you, if I can do it, I know y'all can do it. I don't know how to stress. I wish I could just get a hat and shirt that says, if there is a will, there is a way. I mean, I know we all hear it, but that will has to come from you. If you can will yourself to get up every morning and go to work, because you know your bills have to be paid, then will yourself to get out of a bad situation. Mm-hmm. Will yourself to go to your resources if you know they're there. Mm-hmm. Use them. Will yourself to be healthier. Will yourself to get up. Will yourself to get out of a bad relationship. Mm-hmm. Just will yourself to do it. For me, I can't necessarily say I had someone there to just hold my hand, because I didn't. The more trials and turmoil that I had, that's what willed me, because the more people were jabbing me, or the more that my children's father would be more neglectful to me and the kids, the more I had to turn around and be like, okay, well, we don't have money today, you know, oh, I don't have enough gas in the car to take the kids to the park. Forget it. Okay, let's bake cookies. Mm-hmm. Let's take the things that I have in the house and just entertain them. You know, you have to turn around. You have to tell yourself, no matter what happens, make today a great day. Mm-hmm. No matter how bad Zoe feels, put a smile on your face. Like, Lord, when she was in a body cast for 6 months, I don't wish that on anybody. That was just a horrific experience, not just for her, but for us. We had to totally just maneuver everything around an apartment to where it suited her. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, at the time, my 10-year-old had a room by himself, but we would take that room and divided to where it was like almost like a hospital room. We had to put Zoe's crib in there and take the gate off to where we could have access to her back and forth. I mean, that was just my will to make her situation better. Mm-hmm. I see now why God gave me 6 children. They are the reflection of me. They are the reflection of every life lesson that I've had to learn and overcome. Mm-hmm. And I also feel like they're also my reward. Because I get to see everything that God has instilled in me to do in them. And it's all good. It's nothing negative. My children are great. They're smart. They're everything to me. And so I tell myself, the only thing missing is a good husband. And then I'm like, well, Lord, even if he was to send me a husband right now, would I be ready for him? And the answer to that would be no. I wouldn't be able to give him the time and I guess compassion that he would need. And that's okay. I'm okay with it. I look forward to spending Valentine's Day by myself. I look forward to spending the next year or two holidays by myself with me and my kids. I'm okay with that. You know, people take advantage of the fact that, yes, Christmas, it's New Year's. They're just days with labels on them. Right. Love the people that you have in your life every day like that, you know. Just celebrate each other. I tell my 10-year-old son all the time, you're the man of the house. You're my king, you know. It's us. It's us against the world. Us having, and I have to remind him because he's at the influential age where he does want a father figure. He does want someone to be active with him. I have to remind him, God is going to send that man for us. But we have to wait for him because it's just not our time right now. And, you know, and that gives him peace. It gives him comfort because he knows that where his father is, he was an alcoholic. But because he was hospitalized of the last episode of his liver failing, I think now he has been clean from drinking for the past 10 months. That's because he can't drink anymore. But he still has the alcoholism behavior. You know, he still is sick with his own demons. But my baby knows that in spite of where his father is, he still loves him unconditionally because he knows that that's his dad. And he craves for his father to be healthy. So I tell him, you know, God is going to, you know, give me a husband and you a father role model. We just have to work together and be patient. And that's encouraging to him. And when I leave to go to work, have a good day, Mom. I love you. Be careful. You know, that's all I need. I don't need for a man to tell me that. I think God gave me my sons to tell me that. And so, you know, when I am blessed with that special guy, it'll be a privilege for him to be in our lives and vice versa. And so I think about that and I'm like, wow, why didn't I have that mind frame 10 years ago? And God just wasn't ready for me to see it that way. That's how I know when I do get my king, he has to be more amazing than me. He has to love my children more than I do. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Because if he can't, then he's a waste of my time. I could do better by myself. I'm good. Other than that, I'm good. Zoe keeps me busy. My jobs keep me busy. People always wanting meals. I wanted to bring y'all some cookies. I'm not gonna lie. That was on my to-do list, but when I realized I had to go to work this morning, I just
didn't
have
enough time. Girl, you were busy. It's okay. Okay, I have questions.
Sure.
One question is, I'm sorry if you covered this and I just didn't pick up on it. Do any of your kids have any relationship with their ex-fathers at this point?
My 13-year-old,
Not their ex-fathers.
Okay. My 13 does, because he actually lived with his father. Like, when I mentioned the fact that CPS got involved in the beginning, he, at the time, was awarded full custody with his father, and he was, like, 3 years old. So, that he actually went to live with his father in Texas. And it's crazy, y'all, because literally they just moved back to Huntsville 2 weeks ago. My son is here permanently, and he spent the night with me last night. Right. It was amazing. Like, it's like, when I tell you, God doesn't miss a beat. He brought everyone back. It was like we're all back together. But prior to that, I mean, we had visitations. They would come down whenever they would come down to Huntsville because my son's father and his wife are from Alabama. So they would come home like every 3 to 4 months. And when they do, they would let me see him. You know, but it wasn't like, it was like a hit and miss, so to speak. Here and then they're gone. But that's done with because they're here. They just moved back to Huntsville, like I said, 2 weeks ago. And so that relationship was starting back to rekindle. All the kids that were in the house last night at the same time. That was like an amazing experience for me because I haven't had that in a long time.
Have you ever had that since you have a 2-year-old now? Like, that was probably the first time of having
that
all
was
of
the
them.
First time. Well, when they first got here about last week, I catered the housewarming party. So that was amazing. But so yeah, that was the first time of them then. But then last night, that was probably the second time. Let's see. My 20-year-old, she has a relationship with her father, but you know how that is, love and hate. She is her father's own child. So that is, to me, she was always spoiled. When he tells her no, of course, it's a problem. But yes, they talk. As far as my 4-year-old, his father is not active. And then Zoe and her brother, they're Irish twins. Oh. They're the same age every year for 2 months.
Wow.
KJ just turned 3 in December, and Zoe was 2. So they were 2 at the same mm-hmm. time mm-hmm. for 2 months. She'll be 3 in October of this year. Mm-hmm. Their father is the one that had a drug issue. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. technically, no. And the reason why I say that, and I used to always say, why isn't he a father to them? Why won't he do the things that he should do? Well, he's sick. And I had mm-hmm. to tell myself, why do you keep expecting him to do something when he's not able to do it? Mm-hmm. So I had to just stop just convincing myself, well, he's doing it because he's being evil. No, he has a disease. It is what it is. Leave him alone. Allow him to get himself together. And when he's together, he's more than welcome to have a relationship with his children.
Mm-hmm.
I've never been the type of woman to keep children away from their fathers unless they were in any harm or danger. Mm-hmm. As far as KJ and Zoe goes, I'm the mother and father. LB speaks to his dad frequently. I mean, not frequently, but where I live and where his father lives is not far. So if we don't run into him at the store, corner store, or... We'll give him this. Every Christmas and every birthday, he buys his son a pair of shoes. Mm-hmm. It's like, that's their thing. They have a thing with shoes. Yeah, I mean, the relationships are touch and go, but, it's not consistent.
Mm-hmm.
It's not what I would want them to have if... Because I was brought up in a 2-parent home. My parents are still married 47 years. Mm-hmm. Very proud of that. And so, you know, in my mind, that's what I feel like my kids should have, mm-hmm. a 2-parent home, because that's what I had. And it's crazy because I'm a single parent, yet I wasn't instilled the things to raise kids single parent-wise, because I was brought up in a 2-parent home. And statistics show that most parents who are single parent, it's like a vicious cycle, because her mom, you know, raised her as a single mm-hmm. parent. It wasn't like that for me. Like, I come from a good family. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, my family... Even my female cousins, everyone's in the Air Force. Everyone is established. I made bad choices. I had to learn from that the hard way. But I don't regret anything.
Mm-hmm.
Because like I said, I have the endurance of a bull,
mm-hmm.
you know? And I'm proud of that. And it's because I overcame situations that I needed to overcome.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm able to help somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
I love the fact that I can reach out to strangers and be like, it's okay, you know. I promise you there's another way. And if anything, let me show you.
Mm-hmm.
Let me show you what I know. Let me spread the word to the resources that I had to go through to overcome the same situation that you're mm-hmm. trying to overcome.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking is, like, you've been in the thick of so much that, like, mm-hmm. you legitimately can actually help people because you're not just on a high horse, like, oh, just
right.
change your life.
Mm-hmm.
Just stop doing that. It's like, no, I've been there.
Right.
I'm still going through a
mm-hmm.
lot of things,
mm-hmm.
and this is how you can handle it, and this is how I can help you. And, yeah, I think that you're so inspiring, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh, thank you.
I feel like, I don't know, not that it's good that you went through that, but because you did, like, you're able to transform your life and be this wonderful image of, like, what it can look like on the other side.
Exactly.
I mean, you don't have to be broken and just worn down. Like, you can rise up and become stronger because of all of the stuff that you've
right.
gone through. So, a second question. This might be totally ignorant of me to ask. I don't know. But, so Zoe had a hip socket added in, not
mm-hmm.
replacement, because she never had one.
Correct.
So, as she grows, she's only 2, right?
Correct.
Does that grow with her, or does she have to get it replaced?
That's an unprofound question they can't even answer. It's
mm-hmm.
almost like... They already said she can never play extreme sports. She pretty much will be wheelchair bound. I already have a decap sticker for her and everything. I ask the same questions. It's almost like when we started physical therapy and she actually started standing on it.
Mm-hmm.
Their biggest fear is it's popping out. I mean, they told me when we had the first surgery, Ms. Artis, there was a chance that it'll pop out. And so in the back of my mind, I'm like, well, what does that mean? Will it pop out because she's walking? Will it pop out because it's just her body rejected? Because her body did reject it first
mm-hmm.
and took effect. The first operation, her body rejected it, so they had to go back in and put it back in there. And so, it's new to me. I don't even know how to answer that question. I tell people, as soon as we start physical therapy, it'll be amazing for me just to see her walk,
mm-hmm.
you know? If I could just see my baby walk, then I guess we'll go from there. At some point, I hate that I even allowed the surgery, because some people are telling me, oh, you should have got a second opinion, she didn't need it, or... Because before, Zoe's leg was... protruding out, you know, and I thought, okay, she just needs to get a boot. So I always knew she would be different. I always knew that, okay, they're gonna put her in a boot, and she, you know, some of those babies that walk around with the three,
yeah.
you know, the special boots. But we went in for Zoe's first TLC appointment. You know, of course, they give all the babies x-rays to see where they are. And they were like, Miss Artis, was Zoe born breech? You know, this guy asking all these weird questions. And I was like, she wasn't born breech. Well, was there anything wrong with you during your pregnancy? And I was like, well, I'm a diabetic, and they gave me insulin shots. They was like, Zoe doesn't have a socket, you know. Her legs protruding, not because she had a growth. She just didn't have a socket. And they were like, in their mind, she's in pain. And, like, how did I not catch that? And when I thought about it, Zoe was kind of fussy. Well, she always had this deep, like, her eyebrows always are. So, she was mean. Like, she was mad all the time. She was in pain. Mm-hmm. You know, but you didn't know that. I mean, I think because that was her norm. Like, she probably thought all of us were in pain that way. And so, watching my baby suffer was the hardest thing I think I ever had to endure. That changed everything. I would get up at 3 o'clock in the morning and go clean. Mm-hmm. People are like, well, how could you do that? Well, because my child's at home suffering and I have to do what it takes to keep myself from going crazy. And I know, well, that I'm in this building. A, I'm making money. Mm-hmm. B, I know that when something that she may or may not need, I can get it for her at the end of the week. You know, that was my mind process. Mm-hmm. And so we pray that when she starts physical therapy, she can at least stand up on it and hold her weight and begin to gait, to walk. Mm-hmm. I do know, as she grows, she will have different surgeries because they're going to have to, because a bunch of scar tissue is going to grow around it. So mm-hmm. I think they call them shape scrapings and whatnot, to scrape it off to so that it won't get, like, you know, I guess stiff or whatever. Mm-hmm. I notice now when it's cold outside and raining, she's very irritable because she has chronic arthritis in that hip from the surgery. Mm-hmm. And that's anyone, even me, like my feet, the bottom of my feet hurt when it's cold on my elbows because arthritis, so I can only imagine what she's going through. And so I keep her in leg warmers all the time, even when it's hot outside. I put her in, keep leg warmers on or tights some type of mm-hmm. stocking to give her support. But y'all, she's an amazing child. Mm-hmm. She taught herself to scoot.
It's okay.
She doesn't know that in her mind she's walking, but she scoots everywhere she needs to go. Yeah. And if she wants to sit in a chair, she'll go like this. Mm-hmm. That just tells you that she wants you to pick her up.
So cute.
It is cute. And so there's different languages I feel like she's taught herself, you know, to get around. If we're out in public and we're in a waiting area or something and I feel like the ground's clean enough for me to put her down, I'll sit her down. But, like, if she feels like, you know, your height or your weight, and she just gets really timid if people are walking around because she doesn't want you to fall on her. Mm-hmm. Like, she knows that, hey, if you follow me, you're going to hurt me. Mm-hmm. So she's aware. She's aware of her situation. Mm-hmm. She's very smart. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's just something that, you know, we just have to wait and see. Mm-hmm. And I know that God already has Zoe covered.
I have a question. Mm-hmm. And so, like you mentioned your faith a lot. Were you always faith driven? Were you always a believer? Did you grow up that way? And did you lose that and come back? Or how has your faith played a part in your life?
That's a very good question. Well, let me start out by saying I was raised predominantly in a Baptist home. Mm-hmm. My father, when we were overseas, most of the churches were either, the church on base, like I said, it was, I think it was a Catholic church because I remember just Catholic hymns and I remember everyone just reading from the book. And I remember the predominantly being white or Hispanic. Mm-hmm. And so once we moved to the States, of course, my parents wanted to go back to their roots. We joined a primitive Baptist church, which was black. And every other Sunday, they believed in feet washing. Was it fourth of Sunday? I think we did the feet washing and then communion. And then I remember doing that for about a decade as a child. But when I got older, I want to say between the ages of 17, 20, I started to fade away from the church scene. And I was more into, I guess, more like Bible studies. Because it seemed like the people that I was around and it seemed like more people that I associated with were more either non-denominational people or people who just didn't go to church. Yet, their faith and their sight of God was strong. And I couldn't understand, well, I was always taught to be in the church, yet it seemed like most of God's people was out of the church, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense.
And especially with being in Huntsville, there's a church on every freaking block here. It's crazy. So it's like, it's got to be over 3,000 churches here. I've never seen anything like it. Mm-hmm. I visit a lot of churches here. And for the record, I don't have a home church. Mm-hmm. But I do believe in God. God has shown himself to me in 1,001 ways. Mm-hmm. And I'm a true believer that it's not necessarily where you're serving him, as long as you believe in him and you're having, you know, relationship with mm-hmm. God.
Right.
You don't have to necessarily be in a church. Churches are man-made.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I have church at home,
mm-hmm.
you know,
right.
and it's like, okay, well, Lord, other than a husband, help me find a home church. Help me just find a place where I feel comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's something I'm struggling with. Not necessarily struggling, but I'm working on
mm-hmm.
it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I believe in God. God is the foundation. He showed himself to me more than once.
Mm-hmm.
We all have different faiths and religions, and I don't mock anyone for what they do or what they don't do or believe in. As long as it's not affecting who I am in a negative way,
mm-hmm.
then, you know, I salute you in what you do. Because
mm-hmm.
I don't want anyone to judge me for who I believe in.
Right.
Because, you know, we all have our own opinions and we all have our rights to our own opinions.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I have a question. Well, one's not a question, but you were saying that, like, you really just want Zoe to be able to walk, and
mm-hmm.
you can't wait to see the day where she's in physical training and she does walk.
Mm-hmm.
And at the beginning of this interview, you said, where there's a will, there's a way.
Mm-hmm.
So if she is raised by you with the mm-hmm. mindset of where there's a will, there's a way, like, she's going to be walking,
mm-hmm.
she's not going to be wheelchair bound, because, like, you're instilling that into her, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And if she's already 2 years old and, like, scooting herself across the floor, like,
mm-hmm.
she'll
that's
be
amazing.
Walking, you know?
That she said that. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Seriously, because that's my dad always said that, like, where there's a will, there's a way. That was, like, my life motto growing up.
Wow.
So,
mm-hmm. it's
I
so
just
true.
It too.
Mm-hmm.
And one more thing, when I was, my 4-year-old, he's in the pre-K program. I'm always touching base with his teacher, and I remember one day she was just like, you're doing such, she's always trying to encourage me, you're doing such a good job, you're doing such a good job. And even though I don't feel that way, she said, statistics shows that if you are just doing it right 20% of the time, then your child will be okay. And
wow.
I was just like, oh, wow, just 20%? Like, okay, well, I'm doing at least 50, so
mm-hmm.
I'm okay with that. And,
yeah.
I have to remind myself, you're doing more than 20%. It's okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there may be certain things that I may have wanted to get done or I may have wanted to get accomplished by the end of the week and I wasn't able to. It's okay. Because,
mm-hmm.
ladies and gentlemen, if you're doing more than 20%, you're good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's good. You give yourself grace
mm-hmm.
in that too. I think that's important also to remember. If like you have so many things that are on your plate, but you don't beat yourself up if you
mm-hmm.
don't, you know, give 100% all
yes.
the time, or if you don't
mm-hmm.
make it, you give yourself grace. And I think that's super important for people out there too, because sometimes we can be so hard on ourselves and give like unrealistic expectations to ourselves,
exactly.
and you have to give yourself grace. And I think that's also self love too,
mm-hmm.
is to
mm-hmm.
to do that. So.
Well, besides your relationship with God,
uh-huh.
how else were you able to find, I guess, peace is the best word,
uh-huh.
with everything that you've been through, like
mm-hmm.
abuse, and I don't know, I can just imagine that a lot of people having gone through what you went through, if I had gone through what you went through, I would probably have a hard time not feeling like, Jesse, like, why'd you do that? Why'd
mm-hmm.
you make that decision? Like, I'm very hard on myself already, kind
mm-hmm.
of like Tessa was just saying, so mm-hmm. how have you found peace with your journey independently, like I know through God, but what steps have you taken to just be able to respect where you've gone and what you've been through and just be okay with it now and have self-love?
For me, identifying the peace, for one, is the reward, because like I said, when you realize that you're away from your abuser, you realize you're away from the drugs and alcohol, and when you're away from it all, that alone is the peace. So for me, being able to go to bed every night or coming home from work, knowing that I don't have to worry about, well, where is my baby's dad or where is my boyfriend, or, you know, I can just get up and go. I get up and go as I please. That's my peace.
Mm-hmm.
I think knowing that my children are stable is my peace. You know, being able to see them where they are and how they are, is the peace alone. I mean, it gives me peace. Knowing that they're peaceful is my peace. Knowing that I'm able to give back and share my testimony, that's my peace. Leaving here and going back to work, knowing that I'm able to do that is my peace. It's peaceful to know that, you know, in spite of everything that I've been through and everything that's going on, I tell myself that every night, Lord, I have peace in my home. You know, that's like, thank you for that. Thank you for allowing me to acknowledge that, because like I said, 4 or 5 years ago, I would have never thought that I would have been able to get rid of all of that was bad. And everything is just, it's just new. Everything is brand new. Mm-hmm. Everything is just, yeah, it's new. It's amazing. It's so amazing.
I hear you say, like, you know, now you have peace in your home. And, like, because, like, your children are taken care of, like, you have peace. And I feel like what you're saying is, like, now that maybe there's stability in your mm-hmm. home, you have income coming in, and you know, like, your kids are safe, and now your kids are all together, and you're making things work for yourself, and you have peace. And so my question, I guess, is, did you have people supporting you during your journey, or how much of it was self-instilled and was like, I'm going to get myself out of this because I know, like, something snapped in your brain and you're like, I need to get out and I need to make a better life for myself? Or did you have people, I mean, I know you had your parents, but encouraging you and guiding your path on the way as well?
I'm not going to lie, ladies and gentlemen, 90% of that came from me. Mm-hmm. But I give it all to God. Mm-hmm. It did. It came from me. It came from me just being fed up. Mm-hmm. The resources that I did go to were just primarily the number 211, you know, calling 211, mm-hmm. getting resources for food, getting resources for Zoe. Mm-hmm. I found the United Way. United mm-hmm. Way. They help out with her wheelchairs. Mm-hmm. They helped me out with groceries at times. They adopted her and my kids for Angel Tree and for Christmas. That was amazing. My other job, Intentional Faiths, adopted my kids for Angel Tree. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, and my mother. I got to give a shout out to my mom. My mom has been my number one ace boon coon, and she was the nurse for Zoe when I had to go back to work. Yeah. Both of us are certified nurses. My mother graduated, I want to say 2002, 2003, but I graduated from Virginia College because she went back to school, but I graduated from Virginia College in 2004 with an associate's in science/medical assistant. So we both had that general basic knowledge. Of how to take care of wounds and clean them mm-hmm. and check her vitals and make sure, you know, her circulation and everything and keep her general clean. So we both had that knowledge. And yes, my mother and I and resources, mm-hmm. those were my main three things that got me through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And just being able to utilize those resources. A lot of people, you know, when you get things and flyers and attachments on your doors, don't throw it away. You're going to need it one day. Because mm-hmm. I promise you, if someone was out there to give them to you, there was a reason why they did that.
Right.
And yeah. So, yeah.
And we'll have to, maybe at the end, provide resources
mm-hmm.
from everything that you talked about.
Sure.
Maybe
yeah.
Help us.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I was going to say, like, as we close it up, what are some of the main resources that you can, like, shout out to people listening
yes.
who might need something?
Okay, this is amazing, y'all. When I tell you, I left it in the car because I actually want to show y'all this. Mm-hmm. About, matter of fact, I'll never forget. I want to say, it was Christmas Eve. I had a red Kia 2006 minivan. Mm-hmm. I had it for approximately a year. Make a long story short, I was having battery issues. It was just one drastic thing after the other. Mm-hmm. And yet my car payment was $300 a month. And I got it from pretty much slum people. I'm not going to put no names out there. But it was a horrible, horrible, bad deal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I had no car.
Mm-hmm.
My father and I, my dad got me a rental car. We had the rental car for 2 weeks. We were paying $80 a week for the car. Okay. So then my mother flew to Japan for a month to visit my sister and her husband in Okinawa, so she left me her car.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the root of this is, there's this program, y'all, called Wheels for Working. Anyone that's had a job for more than 6 months, they will either fix the repairs on the car that you have, or if they have one donated at the time, they'll give it to you.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing they require is for y'all to be at work for more than 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to have active insurance and a proper driver's license in order for them to qualify.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all, the word got out that I was having issues with my car. These people contacted me the 2 days before my mother flew in from
mm-hmm.
Japan. They gave me a 2009 Toyota Sienna minivan fully loaded. When I tell y'all, there's nothing wrong with this van and I have no car payments, I've been blessed beyond
mm-hmm.
measures. This program is for anybody in Huntsville, Alabama that is working. The only criteria you have to have is being work for 6 months. Mm-hmm. These people gave me a car. I have the title. I own a car with no payments, and there's nothing wrong with it. Mm-hmm. Brand new tires. My baby has wheelchair access. It's amazing.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
That
so
is that amazing. Was a resource that came back to me, and it helped me out. Mm-hmm. It works. It's real.
Yeah.
It's called Wheels for Workers.
Wheels for Working.
Wheels for Working.
St. Vincent de Paul Church sponsors it.
Okay. We'll add the phone number. Oh, here, I have it right now.
Yes.
Huntsville office is 256-319-7871. And then the hotline is 1-800-322-8284. And that's wheelsforworking.org.
Yes, it works. I have a car.
That's amazing.
It's amazing.
Yeah, that's
it's
a
really
huge
amazing.
Deal, yeah.
It is a huge deal. I'm so proud to have that, to yeah. have it. Because I get in a car knowing that I don't have to worry about new payments.
Yeah.
Zoe, I can get Zoe in and out. Mm-hmm. It's just amazing.
Yeah, that's a big one.
It's
that?
A
like Zoe
major
can
big
get
one,
into
yes.
It. Yeah. Well, can you just leave a list with like other resources?
Okay, other than Wheels for Working, 211. 211, if you call that number and you give them your area code, say if you're you need utility assistance or you need help with your even medications, prescriptions, food, clothing, they will tell you every church, every organization in your zip code that can help you. Mm-hmm. And there's two that I go to every 2 to 3 months. It's off Arcadia. But I go there every 2 months and I get diapers and they have a woman and children's closet. And I go there and I get socks, I get t-shirts, I get this past winter, I got brand new coats for everybody.
Ooh.
And I tell you, they have nice things in there. Mm-hmm. They have nice things. Mm-hmm. It's the Center of Catholic of Concern.
Okay.
Okay.
Catholic of Concern Center off Arcadia.
And they'll
they
probably
do
take
it.
Donations too.
They do. They take donations.
They mm-hmm.
And they give diapers. So when I tell you, because Zoe, she still wears diapers. So mm-hmm. every 2 months, I'll go there for the Women and Children's Clothing Closet. And then, what is it, HAP, Huntsville Assistant Program, mm-hmm. in front of the public library downtown. Mm-hmm. They give diapers and food every Monday and Wednesday. Mm-hmm. I don't think they have a cutoff. I mean, if you show up there and you stand in the line, they're going to give you diapers. They're going to give you food. You're going to walk out of there with something.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so the phone number for Huntsville Assistance Program is 1-256.
539-2320. Yeah, 539-2320. Yeah. Those are my go-to places. Yeah. So just utilize them. I mean, they work. There's no reason for anyone to go hungry. There's no reason for your lights to get turned off. There's no reason for your children not to have clothes on and clean clothes on their backs and clean socks on their feet. Because mm-hmm. even if you don't have ways to these places, the shuttle bus is 50 cents.
Right.
If you don't have 50 cents, there are places that will give you free passes. You just have to act. You
right, don't find an excuse.
Right, there are no excuses. A closed mouth doesn't get fed.
Yeah.
You know?
Well,
so,
didn't you say that United Way also is a resource?
United Way, yes, ma'am. They, because they deal with children with disabilities or impairments. So anyone out there who has a child that has a disability or a physical impairment and you're looking for a sponsor or someone to help you with getting medical equipment, call United Way. They've given us 2 chairs so far. And if ever I need, like I say, if I need like, when Zoe was in her body casting, she needed certain creams mm-hmm. and expensive things I just couldn't have, like, you know, to cover up the, she had a bunch of lesions. They would get that stuff for me and I'd just go by mm-hmm. there and pick it up. It's amazing.
Do you know their phone number off the top of your head?
No, but it's in my phone.
Can I see my phone?
Yeah.
I have it pulled up on my phone, but when I click it,
it's actually called Friends Inc., and they're located in United Way Building.
Okay.
The number there is 256-426-3989. Ms. Jan Brewer.
Thank you for willing to be vulnerable and just come on and be honest about everything that's happened in your life and what you've learned from it. And thank you for sharing that with our audience, because I know it's going to help at least one person.
Oh, wow.
And even if it doesn't
work
correctly.
Oh, yeah. I mean, even just me, I'm just like, it just makes me just happy to know that there are people out there like you that share your story mm-hmm. and are open to sharing it and what you've been through and like where you are now, because really not a lot of people will do that. Mm-hmm. And
or
just
people want to cover it up and act like this stuff didn't happen, or you know, and like, I'm sorry, we're just riffing off each other, but go ahead.
Well, it just shows like what a huge heart you have, not only for your kids and your family, but like for other people. Mm-hmm. And we're so thankful for you to be here.
You can just tell you're such a generous, loving person. You.
Y'all just give me confirmation that I'm doing it for the right reason.
Oh, yeah, girl.
So thank you for that. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, like, you're just the most surprised. I've just been tearing up the whole time.
Yeah, there was one point where you were crying and Tess was over there with tears.
Oh, that's it.
Well, yeah, but thank you so much, because whenever we first started this podcast, like, I'm just saying that your story is really why I do this, because you're helping people by sharing it. It's not just, like, I've gone through this situation, you know. And
right.
It's like, no, I've gone through it, and these are the things that work.
Right.
These are the resources that I can share with you. Mm-hmm. I can be, or I'm speaking, like, as if I'm you, you are a beacon of hope and a beacon of, like, health and beauty and love, and that you've gone through, even just to be abused by the person that you love. Like, that breaks my heart more than anything, because it's like, there's this person who you trust, you know, you're trying to build a family with. Like, they're supposed to love you, and that alone is just so heartbreaking. And then, I'm not saying that being a stripper was heartbreaking, but, like, that is, it has to be very taxing on you. You put yourself out there so vulnerably to people, you know, and then, yeah, just everything that you're going through with your family, and that you just have such a strong heart. Like, that is, it's so amazing.
It is.
Yeah. So, thank you.
Thank y'all for that. Thank you for having me. This is awesome.
And thank you for everybody who's listening to this. And if you need anything catered, just contact us and we can connect you directly to Jamie.
Yes.
All right.
Thanks.
Bye.
You gonna say?
We love you.